welcome to the Shut Up and Ride podcast. Just as we hit record, Simon informed me that his feet stink. That's one way to start a podcast.
That's what everyone
isn't it?
Really wants to know.
Wow.
I've just come home from work. What can I say?
But I don't think you need to share that with everybody.
No, I didn't. I'm an oversharer. What can I say?
You are an oversharer. Anyway, welcome to Shut Up and Ride. Welcome, welcome. Me and Simon are back together because we're all so busy and life is hard. Ben could not make it.
Ben has gone AWOL.
Ben's gone AWOL, basically.
That's fairly standard behaviour, though, is it not? Which would we not say?
Yeah, and you haven't listened to the last podcast where he slags you off at the end of it, so I feel like you can get your revenge now as well.
Oh, did he slag me off?
Yeah, what are you doing with your camera? Get your head in the middle of it.
Sorry.
Thank you. It's only because you've had your... well, we'll get into that in a second. But yes, no, he's... well, I'm going to get Ben in trouble. Anyway, we're straight into this podcast. Welcome, people. At the end of the podcast, we were like, we really miss Simy. He's like, don't worry, I can be Simy for a second. Oh, I'm so tired.
It's true. I am tired. No, I'm not tired. I'm all right, actually.
You're right today. Anyway, welcome to the Shut Up and Ride podcast, sponsored by the brilliant, wonderful. Genuinely, I'm not just saying this because they're our sponsor. I absolutely love the team at Charles Owen. Like, go on to their social media and Silly Prune social media, Hannah, who was on here a while ago. And by the way, we've stayed friends with Hannah. Anyone wondering if that was a one-hit wonder, we love Hannah. I speak to her all the time. She's actually a really sweet, lovely, kind human who I adore. But some of the stuff they got up to at badminton and stuff with Charles Owen is so funny. So do go and check out their social media and buy a hat as well, obviously, and a back protector. But yeah, they're brilliant. And they are wonderful sponsors of our podcast. So, and we're going to talk about them later and what's annoyed us this week as well. Simon, one part of you they did not protect is your beautiful face. For those listening, we might have to put a picture of this on social media. Simon, what has happened?
So I was galloping along at a three-day event on Saturday in the cross-country bit. It was all going very, very well. And
were you having a lovely... Were you going fast, Simon? Were you going fast?
Yeah, I was going fast, actually.
Maybe that's the problem.
I ended up having a run-out, actually, which was really annoying. But I only got 6 time faults with the run-out, so I would have been way inside the time if I'd not had the run-out. So yeah, I was going fast, actually. Thanks. We were just, it was a box fence and then down a little dip and then over another box fence on the way out. And to be honest, the second box fence was quite narrow and the flag had fallen off, which is always quite off-putting. And I was like, oh, what happened there? And he just jumped it really oddly and brought his head up and his neck met my face.
People like to know which horses you're on in these situations.
Magic. Second Magic. Magic. He is known as Best Trick, and he's lovely. He's a lovely, lovely horse, and he's a very sweet boy. And he definitely wouldn't have meant to have done that, but I was a bit kind of shocked, surprised by it. And then as I was galloping, literally the first 2 strides, I'm like, "Oh, I think I'm bleeding quite a lot because I could literally feel this blood just like flying along behind me."
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh.
But it was fine. It was fine.
Nobody pulled you up. How far from home were you?
I was about halfway.
So you just basically left a trail of blood.
Left a trail of blood, yeah. And it's interesting, isn't it? Somebody got pulled up for blood in the horse's mouth.
Not in your mouth, though.
No, they weren't worried about me, were they?
I love that. That is what you have to remember about our sport. It is all about horse welfare and you get pulled up, but not Simy welfare. No one gives a flying fuck whether you're bleeding from the mouth. In fact, carry the fuck on, ride 10 more horses. We don't care as long as your horse isn't bleeding, which is quite right, quite frankly. But
Anyway, Jenny, going back to more important things, you've had quite a tough time.
It's highs and lows, Simon, over the last few weeks. Highs and lows. I actually look exhausted. I might not put any videos from this on. I've had a busy week at Thunderbird. Yeah, it's been, there's been lots of highs over the last, since we last recorded. But there's also been, I don't feel like I want to start the podcast on a low. So I'm going to start with highs. Went on a girls' trip to Nashville. If anyone's been to Nashville, Nashville's a lot of fun. Like, a lot of fun. And apparently I can still slut drop, you'll be pleased to know.
I never had any doubt of that.
Thank you. Yeah. Which my friend Kate Tarrant, who is an eventer, who I went with, and my lovely friend Helen.
What was this for? Was this for anything specific?
So We, years ago, wanted to go to Poe on a girls' trip. So kind of missed 40th.
I remember. I remember.
And 40th obviously all got cancelled because of COVID. So we ended up, when we were allowed to do shit, we're going to go to Poe. And I was very excited about this. First girls' trip since pushing out humans. Which when you've pushed out humans and not had that luxury of getting away from them, is quite a big deal. Anyway, the night before Poe, my little boy started chundering. And then the next morning, I'd been being sick all night. And one of the things about vomit bugs is doctors don't want to see you. And they're like, yeah, poke off. You'll be fine. So I sent Gregor to go and get him some like diorolite stuff just to like try and rehydrate him. And the pharmacist was like, oh, I think maybe you should call the doctor. I was like, oh, okay. Because normally they just tell you to poke off. And we rang the doctor and they were like, oh, actually, he sounds pretty sick, to bring him in. And at that point, he was still being sick, which was getting quite worrying. And then, long story short, the doctor was like, I'm going to ring the hospital. The hospital was actually like, we want to see him. I was like, holy fuck, this is escalating quickly. Did escalate very quickly. He then like was averse to light. And we did the chin on the chest test, which was okay, which is a meningitis test. But he didn't want to sit up, and like he couldn't sit up without using his legs, which is apparently another sign. And at the time, a couple of kids had died from strep in the area. So they didn't know if it's strep or meningitis. And he was showing all these signs, and it fucking... Anyway, I was meant to be going to Poe the next day. And everyone obviously listening to this probably will know that Poe is the horse trials, spelt P-A-U. And as I was sat there with James, I looked up to the sign above his bed, in the ward, and it said, "Welcome to Poe, PAU, the Pediatric Assessment Unit." So I did get to go to Poe, just not the fucking Poe I ever wanted to go to.
Not the one you wanted to go to.
No, but long story short, they did blanket antibiotics and they absolutely nailed him, and he was in hospital for quite a while, but he came through it. But I never got to go to Poe. So Nashville was my Poe. And then after Nashville, we were going on to Kentucky to do a bit of shut up and ride reporting as well and get some interviews, which hopefully people have seen on social media.
And I saw some things on that you sent us of you doing funny things and jumping around in windowsills and obviously having a jolly, jolly fun time.
Yes, yes. So in Nashville, they openly support day drinking, which I've always been a fan of. I quite like a day drink and then go to bed early. And obviously, Canadians don't really drink that much, so I've not really drunk a lot. I looked at my bank account the next day, Simon, and it just said, $20, lucky bastard. $20, lucky bastard.
Oh, really? Oh, my God.
I spent
God.
A long time in a lucky bastard, yeah. We just stayed all day in this one pub. We went to loads of them. We were dancing, line dancing. I was wearing shorts and cowboy boots. Thank you very much, Ariat, for my cowboy boots. And slut dropping, dancing in windows. I ended up lying on the back of a car. Saw my friend Ed out there as well. And then the next day, I was in a whole world of trouble. I was literally head down. Oh, I shouldn't tell you this, should I? I'm not ashamed of myself. I was literally, all three of us were like, we have six children between us. Kate was the only one not being sick. We had our heads down the toilet. I was literally judging myself, questioning my life choices.
But is that not the whole point of, like, if you've left the kids at home to go and have a girlie's time away, that you can push the boundaries and can do whatever you like? Surely,
the boundaries, Simon. I fucked the boundaries right off. I was like, I was absolutely. There's a video of me like dancing with some guy, like spinning me round, clearing people out the room. Oh my God. And then we could barely talk because we'd done so much singing because the music is just amazing. All these bars are so cool. And it actually feels really safe in Nashville. It's like really fun. But like, then I was so drunk that my phone locked me out. It didn't recognize me on Face ID.
Oh, wow. That's bad.
I know.
That is bad.
And then
we got a taxi. Jennings.
We had to go and get a taxi the next day, and we met this wonderful guy called Mark. Like, he was the perfect Uber driver for me in that moment in time. And for some reason, he let me sit in the front with the window down. And then I started singing. We were talking about having sex. And for some reason, I started singing the Tenacious D song, Hard Fucking, to the taxi driver.
Oh, dearie me, you were really going for it, weren't you?
I was really going for it. And anyone who hasn't heard that song by Tenacious D, look it up and you'll see the level of my hungoverness. And Mark said to me, he's like, I've been doing this job 20 years. You're definitely in the top three of drives I've ever had. Thank you very much, Mark. I'll share a picture of Mark.
I'll take that as a compliment. Thank you very much.
I'll take that. Yeah. And then I fell out of my friend's car. He was not drinking, can I just say, when he drove us back to our apartment that night. And as I did, I turned the time lapse on my phone. So I actually recorded myself falling out of the car and just kept going around telling everyone that I'd filmed my own demise. So there is a time lapse of my own demise. I was 2010, Jenny, I have to say. I had a lot of fun.
Well, why not?
And then we went to Kentucky and we didn't even make the dressage. I was in a whole world of trouble. But then we were at Kentucky and it was great fun. Saw the brilliant, like, Harry Mead, Tim Price, all those guys. Please go watch those interviews because they're bloody funny. But yeah, it was good fun, Simi. It was good fun. When was the last time you had a night out and a bit of slut dropping?
Slut dropping, I'm not sure. I mean, I had a night of drinking in a lorry at Bicton this week, which was fun.
Wow.
And they had quite a good party on the Saturday night as well, which was Yellowstone themed.
Did you do fancy dress? Please tell me.
I was like, do I go or do I not go? Show me tomorrow. I was like,
I'm so tired.
Of course you go. Don't be so silly. So I went and it was good. It was good. But yeah, no slut dropping.
You do like a dance.
I do love a dance. Yes, I definitely do. It's one of my favorite things.
You've done a fair few TikTok dances.
I've done a lot of TikTok dances and they are very embarrassing, but you know what? I don't care. I do remember when I first got TikTok, my boyfriend James, he was like, he didn't know anything about it. And then he came home one day and he was like, both my brothers have said that you're on TikTok and it's really funny. Is there anything that I need to be embarrassed by here? And I was like, I don't know. Maybe.
What your answer should have been is, are you planning on downloading TikTok? Because if not, then the answer is definitely no, nothing to be embarrassed about.
Yeah, but then he was like, well, whatever, I'm going to download it and look. And then he did it. Then he downloaded it and he was like, oh, how can you make yourself look so stupid? And I was like, because I am.
I love a bit of a Simi TikTok dance. I've done one and then I've retired and I can't even find that account anymore. So I'm like,
It is like what I really liked about it is I first started doing it in lockdown and like no one really knew about it and none of the Horsey Brigade were on there at that stage. So like no one knew
where
I was.
Simon. You're a trailblazer.
I must have been. No, and like, so I didn't know who anybody was, who was on it and nobody knew who I was and I quite liked it. But then I got quite a lot of followers because I put something on galloping a horse and then a woman called the vegan teacher basically said, at first you think this video is really lovely, but actually it's really cruel because he's riding a horse and that's really awful. But it was amazing. Like I had 250,000 comments on it, I think, or something like that. I can't remember, but a lot of comments on it and people like coming to my defense and being like, don't think I know it's for her and whatever. And it was like overnight, all of a sudden. Crazy.
I thought if you're vegan, you just don't like to eat horses. Like, surely riding them's okay, or is that?
I don't really know where she was coming from. To us, I didn't really take much that much notice, but yeah, some people just don't like it, do they? Which is sad.
That is sad. But yeah, so Nashville, if anyone wants to go, I highly recommend it. Maybe you don't need to attack it quite as hard as I did. My friend Helen, she's going to fucking kill me for saying this. We couldn't find her for one point. And she kept saying to us, she was kept going for power naps in the toilet.
Oh, God, that's really desperate.
I know. And I really wanted to go home at one point. I was like, I need to go home. And they wouldn't let me because it was Kate's birthday the next day. So we were like, we have to make it till 12 o'clock. Just 12 o'clock, Simon. This is how old I am now. We have to make it to 12 o'clock so we can fucking see Kate's birthday. And I was like, I need to go to bed. And then I think I did another shot and I was absolutely fine. But yeah. I can't claim that bit as a work trip because my bank account literally says things like lucky bastard the whole way through it, which is, yeah.
I'd like to say that I used to be able to last a really long time and I used to be able to go with a hangover and be great, but I've never been very good at all that kind of stuff. I'm still not good at it now.
There is absolutely no way I could have ridden a horse the next day. Because I was meant to be the person driving us to Kentucky and all I was doing was lying in bed going, please don't make me drive. Please, I can't drive. This is not allowed. Luckily, Kate was absolutely fine and she was able to guide us to Kentucky quite a lot later than we had initially thought.
But it was worth it. You
it was so
it.
Much
and you've got,
fun.
And you've got lots of stories to tell as a result. So it's great.
Well, embarrassing stories that I've now told to thousands of people on a podcast. Yeah, well done me. Yeah, good. Yeah. And do you know what else happened? For the whole bloody trip, I kept singing the song, "This Ain't Texas." And that's all the words I know to that song. That's my limit. And clearly it wasn't Texas, it's Nashville. And yeah, then woke up in the morning at stupid o'clock to get my flight the next day to get back, because I had to then commentate in Thunderbird the same day, get a really early flight, get back. And my flight had been cancelled. So I ended up having to fly via fucking Texas in the wrong direction, landed in Texas airport. The irony that I'd been singing this bloody song, yeah. Landed in Texas airport and there was a fire alarm going off. You couldn't fucking script it. And I was still hungover at this point. And this whole airport was just like a siren slapping me in the face. It was just like, you couldn't script it. So I will never sing that song ever again now.
This ain't Texas. And then the going down.
Yeah, that was it. My life went down the toilet. I definitely gave up the offering.
It was definitely going downhill.
Yeah, it went down the porcelain god. I definitely offered it up. My goodness. Anyway, but then Kentucky, we had quite a few messages about Kentucky. So I feel like we should answer them.
Firstly, and you're wearing one now.
It was
about the hoodies, wasn't it?
Shut up and ride hoodies. Yes. And we were wearing the pink ones around Kentucky, me and my mates. The hoodies went down a treat. A lot of people coming up and we were wearing pink. But no, it wasn't that.
Quite a few people have said to me that they'd like to be able to buy a hoodie. So
yes.
But that wasn't really the plan, was it?
I think we need to make all kinds of merchandise because we're getting a lot of people ask us about it. But what also happened in Kentucky, and I can't because I'm so tired after a week of work, remember the rider's name. But there was a rider.
The roles are reversed.
Oh, yeah, I know, right? Well, you're the adventure geek.
You're the tired one.
A rider that got told they had like the best save of the day, you know, like you'll see it, and they horse nearly fall off, get themselves back in the saddle and carry on.
Yep.
They land over a fence. The horse kind of pecks, stumbles, head goes right underneath it, but stays almost upright, picks himself up, pops the rider back in the saddle. I don't know if you saw it. It wasn't a rider I actually knew very well.
It was
and
Calvin.
Carries on.
Calvin, I don't know his second name.
Yeah. Loads of people have actually messaged us from that because it's actually, again, one of these clips that's gone around socials of whether he was right to carry on or not because it was actually quite the fall. Like the horse really kind of went down, but then picked himself up, carried on, and then he presented him like the next day and everything. But what's your stance on that? Like how, because obviously it's 5-star, it's taken a fuck of a long time to get there. It's very competitive.
He got quite a lot of grief for that.
Yeah, he did. And we've had loads of people like asking us to discuss it. So I thought
He did also get in trouble for it as well with the FEI. He did get, I don't know whether he got a warning or, don't quote me, but I'm pretty sure that he did get in trouble with, and they did have a word with him. And actually, funnily enough, Gaspar Maxud, who, French rider, and he was riding at badminton, and a very, very similar thing happened to him at the water. The horse kind of like went down on his, like both, basically all four of the horse's legs crumpled. And somehow managed to step back up again and carry on. And the big difference with Gaspar and Calvin was that Calvin, it got back on its feet and he legged it, like he kicked it and was like, right, let's keep going. And Gaspar stopped, trotted, looked down, checked the horse, and then he carried on.
Okay.
And that for me is where Calvin went wrong. Like he should have, I hate to kind of be overly critical, but like he should have checked the horse really. Like,
yeah.
No, he didn't know it was actually properly okay because it went. And the only, I suppose, on the flip side, when you're in that situation and your blood's up and you're being competitive and you're like, get on, come on, let's keep going. I suppose you don't think logically sometimes.
Absolutely, totally. It's a split moment decision, and
yeah,
yeah.
So you don't want to be too hard on him, but at the same time, I personally think it was a mistake, and Gaspar was in exactly the same scenario. He was in a quite good spot, I think, after the dressage, if I remember rightly. And he did check his horse and then carried on. So
It is interesting, yeah. Isn't it? Because I feel like a few years ago, if that had happened, it would have been clipped as, look at this amazing save at Badminton, or look at this amazing save at Burley or Kentucky or wherever it is. Like I mean, there was one back in the day. Do you remember when William, was he on Tamarillo? I can't remember. Do you remember that?
Well, there was that one where it left a leg at the bounce into the leg.
Yeah.
And then left a leg at the second part as well. And William just didn't move.
No.
He just, and yeah. Yeah.
And there was another one where, and I think
that was a bit different. That was a bit different.
But there was one where the horse's head and everything submerged. It's quite a famous one. He's got like the pictures of it on his wall. And the horse went completely underwater and came back up. William kind of floated for a second. And then they were back together and fine. And the horse looked absolutely fine. But again, these things used to be celebrated as amazing saves. But now people are looking at them in a different light. And I feel like, I don't know. I'll ask you, do you think they should be looking at things like that in a different light?
I'm not sure I agree. There's a really famous one of Andrew Nicholson at Burley with Mr. Smithy when he left a leg on the rails of the Waterloo area. Yeah. And Andrew, I have no idea how he stayed on, but he did stay on.
It's because it's Andrew Nicholson and he has magical powers.
And that is a good save. It was a good save. Like the horse left a leg. It wasn't injured. It wasn't a problem. The big thing with Calvin's one was that, and Gaspar's kind of situation was that they crumpled and they went right down onto their bellies. You don't know what's going on underneath. You don't know what's happened there. So that's when I think you do need to be checking.
Yeah, and I suppose where's the line? At what point is it then the officials hold up a flag? You've got to stop. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like, again, you're on
top. They are good at that. You know, like I say, somebody did get stopped at the weekend, Bicton, because their horse had blood in its mouth.
Yeah.
And it was checked. And actually, it was obviously something really insignificant. And they allowed her to carry on. So they are doing, they're going in the right direction. My biggest thing for me is like when horses are really, really tired, and there were a couple of them at Babington that were really, really tired, and they didn't pull their own horses up, and some of them I think perhaps should have been told by the grand jury to pull their horses up. But the biggest problem with that for me is like a friend of mine got pulled up at Burley one year because the horse seemed to be tired, and the horse was pulled up just before the main arena, and which was like four fences from home, and he was just left. Like, you know, this horse is really tired, so that's why we've pulled it up. Now you'll have to find your way back to the stables. To me, that's
too far away from their crew, their water, everything. More dangerous.
So for me, I think they need to, personally, I think there needs to be a change in that respect. I think that they should perhaps have washing stations at the last few fences on the course, so that if they do pull a horse up like that, because the horse is tired, there's everything there and the wherewithal to be able to help them and get them back to the right temperature and all that kind of stuff, because it's so important.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't just pull horses up and say, oh, your horse is too tired and bang.
But then I feel like when you're in that moment and you're on top, sometimes if the horse gets themselves up quite quickly, you might not realise how bad it was in kind of Calvin's defence or Gaspar's defence.
No, I totally agree.
The ground jury can see it on a video and they can say, fuck me, that actually looked worse than you probably realise. And that is where, because I know these riders would never want to put their horses in harm. In those situations, you might not have realised how bad it is. And you're kicking on going, well, I got back up. Woohoo, let's go. And it's so quick, isn't it? When you fall off or something happens, you react, don't you?
Yeah.
So it's hard. I think that is.
I think it's really, I just think it's really important.
I think you should lead a movement, Simon.
You're sorry?
You should lead a movement.
Should lead a movement. But they do, like, at stopping points, they do have water, I think. You know, because they do have stopping points around the course. Like,
you're just so fast, Simon, you just haven't seen them. That's the thing.
I know, that's the thing. That is the thing.
Or you're just too busy saying hi to the crowd.
I did get stopped once at Burley just before the Cotsmore Leap. And
God, that's mean. Normally they stop you the other side of it.
It was quite mean. But it was a good excuse to go the long route. It was the first time I did it, and the people that stopped me, they were really lovely and very, very helpful.
So we're going to take a very quick pause in this podcast to talk about the brilliant Equistreams bands. Because
I just want to interrupt straight away.
Oh, you're going to interrupt me? That makes change.
And then just talk about how I've been putting these Equistreams bands on my horse Vinny, who has got he's had an injury, and I was told that he should have departed this life. But there was a tiny, tiny chance that he might come back. So I thought that's good enough for me. So we've carried on, and his leg has always looked a bit ugly, to be totally truthful. And so, but we've brought him back. We've done all the rehab work and like, and it's just constantly looked not great. But he's been sound and everything's been fine. So we've kind of carried on. And then we put these Equistreams on. Oh my God! Like you can feel all the structures now. It's making a massive, massive difference to him. And obviously, it's still bigger than the other one because there's scar tissue there, I would imagine. But it's made a massive difference. Massive difference. Looks incredible.
Yeah, they are literally amazing. I obviously do not have a horse at the moment, but I do have them on my dogs. The lovely team have sent me one for myself because I have problems sleeping. I get very stiff in the night, especially if I lie on one side. I have never slept better. And I honestly, I'm not just saying that. I have never slept better. So we love them and we want to make sure that they are. We've given a little gift to our listeners. So if you use SHUTUP10, at the checkout, that gives you 10% off. So do please go and check them out. Look in the comments below when you log on to this podcast and you will find their web address. But it's Equistreams, and please go and check them out because they are amazing.
Now tell me about Finn.
Oh, don't, because I'll cry.
Please don't cry.
You'll just have to make me laugh.
But everybody has this. Like we go through loss, and it's really difficult, isn't it?
Yes. So I suppose anyone who's listened to the podcast really knows that when I left to move to Canada a couple of years ago, I did not cry over anything. My mother, sorry, Mum, she listens to this. Leaving my friends, because they'll always be there. Nothing. I was not sad to leave England's green and pleasant land until I had to leave my horse Finn with the lovely girl called Murphy. I actually drove to Kate. Kate's getting a lot of messages in this podcast. I actually drove to Kate's afterwards, and I sobbed solidly for about a week when I had to leave him behind. Like, I never thought I'd have my own horse. I used to ride for owners, and Finn came into my life. Basically, Kate was settling him. She didn't know if he would suit other people because he was quite tricky to ride, and he liked to gallop at show jumps. And they just didn't get on. His dressage, his cross country, I genuinely believe if you'd have asked him to do a 5-star, he would have done it. And Lucinda Green said that to me as well. She's like, Jenny, he's a 5-star horse. I'm like, maybe Lucinda, but I'm not a 5-star rider. Absolutely not. Do you know what? I'd more likely want to have a go at the cross country than the show jumping and the dressage. But he was never going to make great shapes in dressage and show jumping. He was never he was just a cross country machine. So Kate was selling him, and I at the time lost an owner and had no horses. And she was like, do you want to just come and try him? Because I need someone to see what he's like for other people. And at that point in time, my mum had given me £5,000 towards mine and Gregor's wedding. And that was my inheritance, basically. That was all the money I was going to get off my parents. And my mum had saved it. And she was like, you may as well have it now to help pay for the wedding. And I sat on Finn, and within like 5 minutes, we were jumping like meter 20. Like, I just loved him. I just knew he knew where his legs were. So for me, yeah. I'm very much a, you know more than me. I'm happy to sit here quietly. And that just really suited him, like not being told what to do. And don't get me wrong, he's fucking nuts. And he's 8 years old, so he was a great age, and he was Irish. And I looked at Gregor and I was like, love him. And this is when my husband's amazing. And Kate went, £6,000 in installments or £5,000 up front, but if you ever sell him, I want a cut. And I was like, sold. So I spent my wedding money on him, and anyone who came to my wedding had to bring their own booze because we couldn't afford it. So we did a BYO wedding. And everyone was very happy to bring their own booze. It was either that or a cash bar, and they were like, nope, we'll bring our own booze. So everyone brought their own booze to the wedding, so I could buy my first horse at the age of 33, I think I was. He was just amazing. For me, I love training. Like, I just love it. Like, I've had lessons with you with him, and I used to just go to Lucinda's, and I've had lessons with Jock Padgett and Vittorio Panizon and Paul Tatner, and he just, we went hunting and we did team chasing with Laura Collett and hunting with Jay Hallam. Like, we have just had so much fun over the years. And he's just been my whole world, Simon, my whole world, like everything. My kids ride him. He, during COVID, we're like, we can't afford to keep him. Should we sell him? And my husband was like, no, because then one day you might get another horse and that horse might try and kill me. Like, I remember once we were at a show and I taught Gregor how to do stunts. And we were parked next to Paul Tatner. I think we were doing the novice at like Smith's Lawn or something. And Paul had got a 17 in the dressage. I was like, fuck you, Paul. You bloody top riders. How dare you come and compete against us amateurs. Anyway, Paul turned around to watch Gregor doing studs. Now, don't get me wrong. It took Gregor to do about an hour to do 1 foot. And he would moan a hell of a lot about how exhausting it was. But he still had a go. And Paul Tatner turned around and went, for fuck's sake, Gregor, do not ever let them know you can do studs. She'll have you doing everything. Don't let just be incompetent for absolutely everything and she'll never ask you to do it. Don't say you can load it, hand walk it. Let him escape a few times because then she won't ask you to do it. You've set yourself up for a fall there, mate. And I just going, fuck's sake, why did no one tell me this before? But yeah, like I used to put him in the garden and the kids would just memories. Do you know what I mean? Oh, you're still there?
I am still here. I'm just frozen.
And then when I left for Canada, he went to, I kind of gifted him because I didn't want to sell him with a lovely girl called Murphy, who he's kind of taken around some tracks that she hasn't done, like hunter trials and things. But he just kept getting cellulitis and it wasn't fixable. So Murphy had to message me to say they've got to make the tough decision to let him go.
Yeah.
And it was shit. It was literally like, I don't think I've ever been so upset in my life. Like, so upsetting. Like, gutturally upsetting. Like, losing a human. Like, it's like, I don't know. I'm not going to cry.
But it's when they've been so through so much with you. And because I had it with a horse called Corner Crew that I did Babington on and Burley a few times. And Pope as well. And he was wonderful. And we did so much. And he kind of got me to top level and we had a great time. And then the time came to make the decision. It's tough. It's really tough. And I think it's also worse because you're so far away. That makes it more difficult too, because you kind of feel like you're kind of out on a limb a little bit, don't you? It's making that decision such an important, and I just think we've got such a responsibility to these horses to do the right things by them. And it's hard because, you know, well, as you've just like described, you'd far rather that he stayed forever. And sometimes we've got to make that difficult decision, haven't we?
And I think the thing I found really hard was A, not being there, because I know like, they do know you. I know people don't think that animals have emotions, but they fucking do. And I just couldn't get my head around him being shot and going to the hunt to start with, because in my head I was just like, just fucking, I can't do that to my best mate. Like, so I was like frantically Googling, like cremating a horse and getting him like put in a box, and that's obviously cost thousands. And then they were like, oh, you can do it with three horses and then you split the ashes. And I was like, well, then that kind of, I think you're paying thousands for that as well. And I literally just had this absolute meltdown at the thought of someone shooting him. It was just like, oh, it was so fucking awful. And then I was like, oh, he loves hunting. And my friend Matt, who knows the hunt and the people, and then Murphy's dad rang me and was just like, the person doing it is so respectful and it's just done really well. And yeah. It's just like that's the bit you find really hard. Like, you wouldn't do that to a dog. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But you also got to think about how quick it is and how, you know, it's worse for us than it is for them. Because it's done. It's good that, I had that with Bozzy as well, because I held him. Oh. And in some ways, I kind of wish I hadn't. But It's all a personal thing, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, Kate's getting so many mentions in this podcast. Shows what a good friend she is. She went over there and said goodbye for me, and she's got some of his tail and is Maine. And so if anyone knows any good jewelers or artists as well, because I want to get a proper painting of him, and I really want to get some nice jewelry, like proper stuff made that I can then Delilah can have after, or James, and or maybe even make a couple of pieces, but like really nice stuff. Like I've got a tattoo of him already. But that was really hard, because she was like, oh, he seemed really happy and the sun was on his back. And I was like, oh, why can't he just live like that forever? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it's been pretty shit.
Yeah, it has been shit. It has been shit.
Anyway, but yeah.
But just... you gave him a really great life and you made some really good decisions by him. And so you should be really proud of that. And yeah. You've got some great treasured memories to think about.
Oh my God, really the best fun memories. Things. Like I was pregnant with my kids and rode him, and like my kids just loved him. That was really hard as well, telling the kids. No one kind of prepares you for that.
Yeah.
Like the kids really loved him. I really loved him. And we always just had this dream when we moved back to England, he'd come and be like our dog in the field. Because some horses don't want to be field ornaments. But I think Finn would have been quite happy living in our back garden.
Yeah.
That was always like, and the kids would just sit on his back and like, you know,
yeah,
you have,
being like a giant Labrador.
Absolutely a giant Labrador. So yeah, anyway.
But you've also got to think about how, and I thought this with Bozzy, because, you know, obviously I was really upset when he went, and you've got to feel really lucky to feel to, like you're feeling like this because you've had something so special, and that's a really wonderful thing. And grief's a really hard thing to deal with, but I think it's something that needs to be embraced, and it's, in a way, it's an honour to have it, because it means that you had something that was really special.
Yeah, that's a really good way of looking at it. It just fucking sucks that they don't live as long as us.
It does, it absolutely does.
Fucking sucks.
Oh, I was reading this thing the other day about dogs, because I think my dog's gonna, she's fine at the moment, but she's very old, and so I think she's gonna be on the way out. But I was reading this thing the other day online, and it was David Attenborough actually, and it was talking about dogs, and they were like, why do dogs live a shorter life than humans? And have you seen this?
I don't think I have. I've heard like a lovely phrase of why do dogs live a shorter life than us?
Yeah, and that was, I think it was there, and it was that, and it's it was a little boy, and yeah. And they're like, oh, it's really sad, but we're going to have to put our dog down, and they did it, and the dog like passed away really quietly and peacefully, and then they were talking about how dogs have a shorter life and why that was, and the boy chirped up and said, I know why it is. It's because we have to learn to be kind and to love and to be nice. That's why we live longer. But dogs already do that as soon as they're born, so they don't need to be here as long. I think that's really cute, and it's very true.
How old is your gorgeous girl then? How like it's
gorgeous girl is now 14.
14. And people, do you know what? People go, oh, it's a good age. They've done well. I don't give a fuck what good ages is. I just want them to live longer. With your age?
I do think 14 is a good age for a whippet. And she's definitely slowed down. And she used to come to every event with me, and she'd walk every course with me, and we'd have a real blast together. But actually now she doesn't really enjoy going to events anymore. And she likes to stay at home and stay in her bed and be comfortable. So, yeah, when she goes, it's going to be very tough. But I had to say goodbye to my friend, and I did a tribute to my friend Caroline Moore, who passed away. I haven't seen you since then, and that was tough. But she was really amazing. Well, is really amazing, and I kind of tried to bring that across in my tribute to her, because I was kind of talking about how hardworking she was, and how. At the end, and I think I'd like to be like this. I think she, I said, no, I know that she would be really annoyed if we moped. There must be no moping around, because I think she'd be really annoyed with it. And we should all just try and live our best lives and be the best versions of ourselves that we possibly can be. And that's what she would want. She wouldn't want us to be kind of like being sad. And I think that's really important. And yeah. She was a wonderful human being, and I miss her very much. But yeah, so that was quite hard. Well, very hard.
I don't know how you got through a eulogy. I don't know. Like, I can't get through a fucking podcast talking about my horse. Do you think it's just in that moment you can just do it? And then how did you get through it?
I held it together. And because I practiced it quite a few times. And every time I did it, I kept it together right to the very last bit. Because I said, what did I say at the end? I said, it's something like, it was a real honor it was a real honor to have her as part of my life and to be able to call her my friend. And that got me every time.
It got you then as well. Oh my God. People are going to be listening to this. They'll either be hardened and be like, oh, shut up, the pair of you. Or be like crying their eyes out.
But it's absolutely true. And I wanted to say it, but every time it got me every time. And I managed to get, and I just talked for quite, well, not a long, long time, but I talked for enough time. And but that bit each time got me.
It's like the bit in Four Weddings and a Funeral. I always think of that when I think of a eulogy where
when you read a poem.
Yeah, and the clocks stop and all of this.
He was my north, my south, my east, my west, my working week and my daily rest. I thought love would last forever. I was wrong. Oh, I just...
Yeah. It's so moving.
It's John Hannah, isn't it? He was just sensational in that film.
And that film is so funny and so emotive.
But yet so dark.
But then to have that bit is just so like... And it almost takes your breath away, doesn't it, that bit? Because you kind of... it takes you to... Like, I defy anyone not to have cried in that bit. Like, you have to be a soulless fool.
It was really ahead of its time as well. You know, because it's quite a long time ago that Four Weddings and a Funeral was happened, and they really they broached that subject of a gay couple and how they were virtually married anyway, but no one really kind of realised it or really thought about it, and because back then it was still very it was frowned upon in lots of ways, and it's now it's improved a lot since then.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is turning into a very, very deep and...
I know. I can change it. Podcast. The beginning of that film is one of my favourite starts to any film because they're just in bed and they go, fuck, fuck, fuckity, fuck, 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 fuck. Sorry, anyone listening to this with kids. But it's just absolute genius. It's genius. I just love it.
I don't know why, but it's just made me think of The Vicar of Dibley when Alice is getting married. And they go, I want to ask you, is there anybody who sees any lawful reason why these two should not be joined in matrimony? And then the door opens, and this woman comes in, she said, yes, because the groom is already married. I've got the marriage certificate here to prove it. And then, he turns around to look at her and she goes, oh, sorry, wrong church.
Vicar of Dibley, bring that back. That was just so funny. My favourite bit is the bit where she jumps in the puddle and just sinks.
Yeah. Dawn French is just...
She's so funny. She's someone I'd like to have dinner with. I think that would be quite funny.
And Jennifer. Yeah, because Jennifer owned a couple of event horses.
Yeah, for Piggy. Yeah, she did for a while.
She was really supportive of her for
But you say this, right. Has anyone ever seen the sketch? And if you haven't seen this, please go and look it up.
You shared it with us not that long ago.
Jennifer Saunders and Dawn French Pony Club or something like that. And basically it's Dawn French kind of getting up in the morning. She's like pretending to be a pony clubber. And she's going to go to her local farm where she rides this like farmer's horses who's played by Jennifer Saunders. And she's like doing up her tie and putting her boots on and getting all excited to go. And then she turns up and Jennifer Saunders, all right, I thought you'd ride Peter Pan then today. And Jennifer Saunders and Dawn's like very excited. And they go to the field and they take like 5 hours to catch Jigsaw and Peter Pan.
And it's like, oh, you bloody bugger, bugger.
Jigsaw, you bugger, Jigsaw. And they're like, they get baling twine and they're sat there and then eating the horse. It's fucking genius. And then they finally catch the ponies after like 5 hours. And then they tack them up and they go down to the field. And it's absolutely hilarious. And it's so what happens. And I think Peter Pan, like they walk up to the fence and Peter Pan just puts his head down and just starts eating grass and she can't pull his head up. And then at one point, as Peter Pan's eating grass, Dawn is just sat there going, and this is Peter Pan and Dawn at badminton. Giddy up, Peter Pan. And she's like in her head doing exactly what I did as a child, imagining. And they ride for like 10 seconds. And then they go back. It's like same time next week. And at one point she's on Jigsaw. Peter Pan's eating grass. And Jennifer Saunders just comes flying past Dawn French on Jigsaw going, Jigsaw, you bugger! Jigsaw! Woo! Like this. It's so funny. Right. Now this is where my story was going. So I then interviewed Jennifer Saunders because she was at Olympia and I was working at Olympia. Sorry, not Olympia now, the London International Horse Show. And I was allowed to go and interview her after the Rolex course walk. So I went down and Spencer Wilton and Jay Hallam dared me to ask her about Peter Pan and Jigsaw. I was like, oh, fuck, I'm meant to be like doing a serious interview. I think I was doing it for Rolex or someone. Anyway, I was like, this is a serious interview. I was like, oh, fuck it, you only live once. So I was chatting away to her. And then I said to Jennifer, I was like, so Jennifer, when you walk that course, do you think that Peter Pan or Jigsaw would ever have been able to jump any of those fences? And she didn't and even...
How did she take it?
Simon, she didn't even smirk. She just glared at me. And I was like, oh, fuck, this is embarrassing. But then she went... She just said something like, yeah, no, I don't think either of them would have been able to do it. And I was like, she didn't take the bait. She obviously knew what I was talking about. She didn't find me funny. I fell flat on my ass. I thought this is my moment to be really bloody funny. And no, Jennifer Saunders, nope, she does not find me funny.
Yeah, no, that was not good. Not good.
No, it was awful.
I wonder how many times she's been asked that before.
I don't know, but I literally fell on my face. I was like, yep, thanks, Spencer, you bastard.
So it was basically a look of, that was an original question.
Yeah, shut up, you idiot. I thought we were here to talk about show jumping. Yeah,
poor Jenny.
I should find that clip. I bet it's somewhere. And I can embarrass myself once again to the world. Yeah.
You should definitely put a link to Jigsaw and Peter Pan on this.
I will do. I'll put this. It basically surmises pony clubbers back in the day. But, oh my God, so funny.
What's annoyed you this week?
Oh, what's annoyed me this week? Quite a few things.
Okay. More is.
I feel like I've been talking for ages. Do you want to go first on the what's annoyed you?
No, you go for it. I don't really know what's annoyed me. Something did annoy me. Oh, yeah, go on.
All right, dogs.
Dogs.
Yeah, other people's fucking dogs.
But dogs never annoy you other than corgis.
Well, a corgi's annoyed me as well. Although I did meet a miniature corgi yesterday. It's one of the cutest things I've ever seen in my life, called Lola, and she was very sweet.
Oh, I didn't realize it, miniature versions.
Also, before I get onto what's annoyed me, Becky Moody has not annoyed me. She has very much cheered me up. She sent me a video of her and a friendly corgi saying that not all corgis are bad. And I'm not entirely sure if Becky hasn't had a few glasses of wine when she's telling you this story. But what's hilarious is she's trying to convince me this corgi's nice, and this corgi just stares at her and just walks off and shuns her. I'm like, might physically not be nice, but mentally that corgi's just absolutely shunned you. So I love it now that Becky Moody, Olympian, is sending us corgi videos, as is so many people. I love it. And none of these corgi videos put corgis in a good light, by the way. So we have been road tripping around California, down Oregon and California in a little pop-up tent, which is just hilarious because we're in like a pop-up trailer and Americans don't do camping tent trailers. They do RVs and trailers that are basically bigger than my house. So there's us and they're all just staring at us going, all right.
What on earth are they doing?
You povos, like literally. but I feel like it's teaching my children that we don't have to have money to have fun. And day one of our 2-week road trip in a pop-up tent round California and Oregon at Cannon Beach. Anyone who has watched the film The Goonies, me and my husband went to the Goonies house. That was very fun. Maverick, my heart and soul, my dog, got attacked by another dog.
Oh, no.
Yeah, picked him up by the ear and they...
Is he okay?
No, picked him up by the ear and shook him, and they were then pulling their dog, so that made their dog even higher, which had Maverick in the air. My kids are screaming. I was holding their Maverick, and this dog wouldn't let him go. I didn't want to pull because obviously then his ear would have come off. I'm not going to lie, Simon, I punched this dog in the face. Please don't hate me, people. It was the only way I was going to get my dog off this. It was either that or kick it. So he let go, and Maverick's ear, basically, we had to find an emergency vet in Portland, and get his ears sewn back on. He had to be knocked out.
Oh, poor chap.
I know. And now his ears don't both work. Well, he used to have sticky up ears and now one's permanently down.
Oh, so no.
2 weeks of a road trip. He had two more vet visits because it got infected, but 2 weeks of a road trip. So now,
you'll get used to the floppy ear.
I know.
It'll make him more endearing in the long run anyway. It's a bit like Gorgeous Girl years ago. She lost her tail. And I remember being absolutely distraught about that. I was walking the course at Burnham Market at like 6 a.m. or something. And I called her and she obviously came running and she went through a wire fence and she'd got gashed all four legs and severed her tail at the same time. And I remember they were like, oh, we're going to have to remove part of her tail. And I remember when I first saw her, I was like, oh my God, it's terrible. But now it's a gorgeous girl. That is her. It'd be wrong if she didn't have half a tail.
I just love the fact that whenever I meet gorgeous girls, she just looks at you with complete contempt.
Contempt. Oh, God, yeah. And actually, talking of my TikToks, quite often she'll be standing in the background and you can see her going, what is he doing? He's doing it again. Weirdo.
I know. Whippets do have that kind of look about them, though, don't they? Of just like, really? I am so much more important than you.
She likes spending time with me. When I get home, she always comes and sits with me. Although she's not sitting with me now. Because James is home.
Oh, no, she is. Like, it is just you. You never have to have her on a lead. She just trots behind you. It's so cute.
Yeah, she does. I'd go to use a port-a-loo. At an event, and she'd literally just sit outside it.
That's so cute. See, this is what Maverick's like, but now I'm terrified to let him out of my sight. I think, can you get PTSD from something like this? Because literally, a dog comes near me now, I'm like, fuck off, fuck off, like, don't come near me. And then we were on a walk about a week later down in Oregon, and this guy was like, it was a really narrow path, and he was like, don't worry, my dogs are fine. And I picked up Maverick anyway, and Woof is really tiny, so we picked them up and went to go past. And as we went past, this corgi fucking growled and tried to bite my kids. That's the main thing that's annoyed me, because I'm like, don't say your dog is friendly and not understand and read the signs that your dog is a fucking corgi. It's vicious. I've sworn a lot in this episode. I feel like there's a lot of anger in me today. Sorry. But yeah, so that is what's annoyed me. Like, people, like, obviously things happen, but not knowing your dog, like, don't let your dog talk to other dogs if you're not 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, understanding your dogs, and that's what's annoyed me. I'm an angry human right now.
You know what? Just talking about gorgeous girl, not sitting next to me. I'm sure I can hear her whining outside the door.
Oh, hello. Oh,
see, there she
there
is.
There she is. She loves you, really.
Well, see, you were talking. Come on, darling. You're going to come up on here.
Why is it we put on these ridiculous voices when we talk to our animals?
Oh, I know, isn't it? It's ridiculous, isn't it?
It is ridiculous.
Come up here. Come on.
So when we were on our road trip, we were driving down this really funny, like, I can't get over how much of America seems about, like, stuck in the past. There's all these...
Piggy's now choking, sorry. No, she's got hiccups. We're okay.
We're all right, Twigs. And then we drove through this town and there was this shop and we're driving along. And we turn around and there's a big sign for this shop and it's called Chubby Little Mermaid. And Gregor, really? without even thinking, was like, that would be my wrestling name.
Love that. Brilliant.
And I was like, this is why I love him, because he's bloody funny. And I was
like, Chubby Mermaid.
Chubby Little Mermaid. It would be his wrestling name or his porn name. And then the next shop that was called Old Fashioned Fudge, and he went, that would be yours.
You're not old-fashioned.
Well, apparently, that's what he says, old-fashioned fudge. I think I probably did say, surely that should be Simon's, but...
Yeah.
So, yeah, that made me think, like, I need to ask people what their wrestling names would be on this podcast. Send us what you think your wrestling names would be.
Yes, that's a great idea. I would love to hear those.
Yeah, so mine is apparently Simon's is old-fashioned fudge, and my husband's
and
is...
Chubby Little Mermaid.
Chubby Little Mermaid would be my wrestling name.
I wonder what Ben's would be.
Oh, that's so good.
I was thinking that seeing as he's not here, we should talk about him.
We should talk about him, shouldn't we?
Talk about him behind his back. But the thing is, I've not got anything bad to say about him, really.
He doesn't answer his phone, but that's no secret.
Yeah, but that doesn't make him a bad person, does it?
It depends if you're...
Yeah, it kind of does. In my book, yes. That makes him terrible.
It does annoy me.
I love him. I just think he's a really... Because I've never met him before this podcast. I've only met him once. And he just seems like a really kind soul who is very intelligent and comes out with some amazing stuff. And he's really interested as well. Lots of people aren't like that.
We do argue a lot, though, because he doesn't see himself as talented.
Yeah, which is really, I mean, how ridiculous is that?
I know.
As if he doesn't think that.
He thinks that what he does, anyone could learn to do. And I massively disagree with him. I think, first of all, most people wouldn't have the patience.
About most things in life, though.
How many people do you know would have the work ethic, the patience, and the skill to do what he does? I don't think anyone could learn to do it.
No, I agree.
And what you do. There's a reason there's not that many people who ride at 5-star.
Well, yeah, I mean, because a huge part of it is luck as well.
Money.
And yeah, that's a big element of it as well. But with what Ben does, you know, it's not all about money, is it?
No. But
he's just devoted his life to working horses out and getting in their brains and getting in their heads and working out what makes them tick.
Yeah.
Which I suppose is similar to what I do, but just it's just slightly different.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I miss him. I wish he was here.
I know we do, but he said he can record on Friday, so we'll do another one.
Oh, excellent. Oh, okay.
On Friday. Awesome. But we do have to finish with a what's annoyed us all this week for on behalf of our lovely sponsors, Charles Owen.
Yes. Yes. Adverts.
Adverts. I was quite shocked by this. I don't...
Yes.
In some ways, I think it's kind
of... I was more than shocked. I was confused by it.
Yeah, so I liken it a little bit to the Aldi versus M&S Colin the Caterpillar type thing. But in some ways, I feel like, so it's another hat brand. I'm not even going to say their name because I don't want to give them the advertising. Has basically used advertising in a derogatory way. Is that the right word?
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
I'm just going to get the picture up so I can see what they actually wrote. But they... basically slag off another brand to get
it's not
their
slagging
brand
off. It's just a very subtle, well, no, it's not subtle.
It's not subtle. They say Charles Who, out with the old, in with the new, and then a picture of their own hat. Well, I feel that I'm very loyal to Charles.
I mean, I can only wear Charles Owen, to be honest, because they're the only ones that fit me and they are absolutely phenomenal. I love those hats. They're so good. I just don't understand why you would basically advertise your biggest competition, which is what they're doing.
Well, they also slag off Champion as well. And they've put, there's a new Champion in town, out with the old, in with the new. So it isn't just Charles Owen. They've slagged off Champion as well. But
again, you're promoting your biggest competition and they're more experienced and more knowledgeable than you are.
Yeah, I know. It is, I just feel like in a world where we should be being kind and promoting kindness, even though I am very mean to you, but you know, I love you deep down.
It's all tongue in cheek. At least I tell myself that. It is, isn't it?
It's awkward. Yes. Hashtag.
Oh my God. Is that some tumbleweed going by?
Yeah. La, 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 la. I do love you, really. But I feel like it's not like, I don't know. Like the stuff with Colin the Caterpillar and the Aldi Caterpillar. Colin versus Cuthbert the Caterpillar.
I'm not sure that that's a really good way of doing it.
And this was quite funny as well, wasn't it? Like the Colin the Caterpillar was quite funny. This just feels like a bit bitchy. It's a bit like claws out. Meow.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's got us talking about him.
Yeah, but also I feel like Charles Owen needs to come back with some really funny comebacks. Like,
yeah, but of all the companies that we know, who's going to come out with something funny?
I know, right?
Because they're so funny.
They are funny.
Like, we talked about it before, but like Silly Prune taking over as CEO for the day, and calling Dave Steve all day and Honestly, and I was going to say, Steve, Dave is so, he's got such a good sense of humour.
It's very funny. Yeah. And they made the marketing girl, she's head of, I don't know what Jane's actual full title is, but she's very important and far cleverer than me. She's got a cat called Ian, and they made Ian a hat. I'm like, oh, that is just brilliant.
Yeah, it's so good. That's so funny.
Right. So we are going to try and record with Ben. You need to listen to the last episode with Amberly Snyder. Because
yes.
She was all kinds of inspo. We've had lots of messages from people after what happened to my horse Finn that were very lovely. So thank you very much for all your lovely messages and reach shout outs and stuff, because it's very kind. Because you guys, we do have this wonderful community. I say it a lot, but honestly, like, our listeners are just so lovely. They are like proper lovely.
Oh god, yeah, and they're really. I did a 3-day event this weekend. Just gone.
You should do more of those. That's your job.
And then when I finished the cross country, I had some girls come up to me, ask for my photo with them, which was really sweet. And then I had a lady come up and she was like, "Oh, Simon, just wanted to say I listened to the podcast and it is so fantastic. Thank you so much, and please keep doing it. And I love Ben and I love Jenny, and you all did such a brilliant job. So I just wanted to say," which is so nice, it's so lovely. People like, you know, coming up and saying stuff like that. It's always nice seeing people that enjoy the podcast.
It's very nice. I found it like it's hard to keep up with, and we need more advertisers, people. Spread the love. Please share, like, follow. Right. I feel like we should save some chat for when we next get the Benjamin on.
Looking forward to having the three of us all together again.
Yeah. I feel like I've spoken for most of this podcast. Where are you going to next?
So this weekend I am at Little Downham Horse Trials. I've got 5 horses running there, and then next week I'm going to Bramham to do the 3-day event there. So,
oh, are you getting the noseband thing check? Do you get those at FEI competitions now?
Because since it came in on the 1st of May, and my nosebands have been fine with it. So, and I think they have found that majority of people are fine with it. There's just been the odd one or two which have been too tight. So it's definitely worth having.
Right. On that note, all that is left to say is shut up and ride.
Shut up and ride.
Shut up and ride. Benji, we miss you. You've got to sing because Benji's... Oh, no, do an accent. Say shut up and ride in a good accent.
Okay, everyone. It's time to go and shut up and ride.